So the Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim, Kol HaZvachim Shenizbuchu Shalom L'Shman K'sherim, and the Mishnah presents two exceptions to the rule. We're going to focus, at least at the beginning of our discussion, on the first of those two exceptions. And it says, Chutz Min HaPesach, with the exception of Korban Pesach. The Gemara later on is going to invoke a drasha to exclude Pesach from the normal rule that applies to all other zvachim, that shelo lishman is kosher. However, the Mishnah itself qualifies the case of Pesach, and it says the following: HaPesach bizmano. That when do we say that the Pesach is possible if it was shelo lishma? That's only bizmano. And Rashi says bizmano possible shelo lishma. Kol zman shchitoso dahainu michatzos hayom shel erev Pesach ad haerev. So the Korban Pesach was shechted on Erev Pesach from Chatzos until the Erev. So even before I read the next line in Rashi, I already know that if he shechted the Korban Pesach Shalom Lishma before Chatzos, that would not come under this rule called Chutz Min HaPesach. And that's what Rashi spells out in the next line. He says, I will kodem lachen. And then he adds the achar michein. So let's say, for example, the korban wasn't shechted at all on Erev Pesach, and later on he shechted it. Is kaimalon? We have a principle that the Gemara is going to establish later on. The Pesach b'shari mos hashana shlomim hu. The status of a Pesach during the balance of the year, except for that period of time when there's a shechit of korban Pesach, is that of shlomim. V'chol dino kishlamim, and all the dinim that apply to a korban shlamim apply to Pesach shelo bizmano. And we've already established at the opening of the Mishnah, really el de bishar zvachim ksherim shelo lishma. So it means that according to Rashi, if you have a korban Pesach and it was shechted for the purpose of a different korban, so it depends. If it was shechted on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, then it's possible. Just get rid of it. If, on the other hand, it was before Chatzos, so it's in the morning of Yudalit, or it was later on, and you shechted it for the sake, let's say, of a korban Ola, I'm just giving one example, that becomes Shlomim L'Shem Ola, and Shlomim L'Shem Ola is kosher. Fine. Now, what I wanted to point out to you here is a very interesting insight in the Sefer Nefesh Tova. This is the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva. And he says the following, that in the case of Pesach Bizmano, a Macheves Shelo Lishma hassles the carbon. Okay, this is what we call a machshava haposelis. However, if we switch it around, let's say he has a different carbon. We'll call it a carbon ola, whatever the carbon might be. And he shechts the carbon for the sake of a Pesach. That too is possible according to the next part of the Mishnah, which we could skip for a moment, fast forward to Yossi ben Choni, who says, "Hanishchotim l'shem Pesach, etc., possible." So in other words, according to the sheet of Yossi, it's a two-way street. Meaning, if we're talking about Pesach bizmano, then either he shechted the Pesach l'shem Ola, or if we're talking about Pesach shelo bizmano, he shechted an Ola for the purpose of a Pesach. In both cases, the carbon is possible. And the Gemara is going to derive Yossi Shita, the two-way street, from various Limudim and Yalfusis. Oh. Now, the question is, just the mechanics of it. How does it work? Just the logic of it. He has now Shelo Bizmano, what kind of a carbon? I mean, we call it a carbon Pesach, but it has a din of what? Of Shlamin. And now, if he shechts it l'shem another zevach, okay, that's shlamim l'shem zevach acher. But in the case where he shechts an ola for the sake of a Pesach shelo bizmano, what would be the din? We said that according to Yossi, if he shechts a shlamim l'shem Pesach, that's possible. But what about a Pesach shelo bizmano? L'chora, that should be kosher, because the Pesach Shelo Bizmano is Shlomim. So far we're doing well. Everything seems to fit into place. He says the following. Sof sof, harei uchoshev ato lishchot zvochim elu l'shem Pesach v'lo l'shem Shlomim. In other words, we're not talking about a case of a particular carbon that's in front of him. Correct? What's in front of him now? The carbon that he's shechting, when he shechts it l'shem Pesach, he's not taking this carbon and shechting it for the sake of a different carbon, meaning a different carbon that's sitting in front of him. It's all in his mind. And in his mind, he's shechting it for the purpose of a Pesach. So he says, I don't understand. Hareu choshev ato lishchot zvachim elu l'shem Pesach v'lo l'shem Shlomim. In other words, if you were talking about the status of a particular carbon shelo bizmano and it was Pesach, then it has the status of Shlomim. That's fine. But if we're talking about a case where he has a machshava, his machshava was l'shem Pesach. So again, he's shechting a shlomim l'shem Pesach. That's called a machshava poselis, according to Yossi.
But there is no such thing as a Pesach.
So even the abstract definition of a Pesach doesn't exist. That's what you're saying.
Correct.
Now, I would have said, and that's, I think that's what the Rosh Yeshiva is claiming. Again, there are two ways here that you can go. One way is to say that Ein Chinami, now that it's not the Zman of Pesach, so when he has Zman L'Shem Pesach, he really has Zman L'Shem Shlomim, because Pesach doesn't exist on the face of the earth.
Right.
The Rosh Yeshiva thinks that if he's shechting it l'shem Pesach, as a general rule, whenever you shecht a carbon l'shem Pesach, it's l'shem Pesach. Pesach has an abstract category. So what difference does it make what time of the year it is? He's always guilty, so to speak, of shechting it l'shem Pesach. And therefore, on the next page on top, he says, "Amai ein nifsolim hanishchotim l'shem Pesach," and I'm going to add the word afilu, "b'shar yamos hashana." So on this point, he quotes the Brisker Rav, as he's very wont to do, and he says the following, that there's a fundamental difference here between Pesach, B'Shar Yemos HaShana, which is Shlomim, and the general principle which is called Mosar. Now let's explain. Mosar means, and it can happen to almost any carbon, is where there was an extra carbon, and we don't know what to do with it. For example, let's say a person was mafish two chatos. He was hoping that he would get away with one chatos, but in the event that this chatos gets lost, so as a security, as a fallback position, he was mafish a second chatos. And Baruch Hashem, he was able to bring the first chatos. Now the second chatos is just floating around. It's totally superfluous. It's called mosar. Or, for example, carbon asham. Let's say a man denied that he has edus to somebody, took a shvuah to that effect, and now the truth comes out that he really did have edus, and he has to bring a korban asham, right? An asham edus, a korban that's called hashmias kol, right? And let's say he was mafish two korbanos asham. Also, you could have a case of mosar where there was money collected in the Trumas HaLishka and there was a surplus of money, so they went ahead and they bought extra carbonos, and then it turned out they didn't need those carbonos. These are all under the law of Mosar. Now, in the case of Pesach, if he doesn't shecht this carbon Pesach bizmano, then l'chora shelo bizmano, which should have a din of Mosar. In this case, we'll call it Mosar Pesach. It's superfluous and we have nothing to do with it. He's going to have to replace the original Korban Pesach with a different one, and once he does so, what is he going to do with the original Korban Pesach? So that comes under the law of Mosar. Now what do we do with Mosar? So what we do with Mosar is the following. Let's say it was a case of Mosar Asham. What would be a case of Mosar Asham? So before I gave you the case where he was mafresh two karbanos for one avera. But let's give another case. That's the case that he wants to give. Mesu Bailov. Let's say a person was mafresh a karban Asham and then Nebuchi died. Now we have a principle, Ein HaMesim Mechaprim. So now we have a Korban Asham, we don't know what to do with it. The man is dead. So perhaps we can have his Yarshim bring the Korban. The only problem is that every Korban has to have a Kapara. The Yarshim were not guilty of the sin of their father. Lo Yubsu Bonim Al Avon Avosam. So what is the Kapara of this Korban? So the halacha is that there's one category of Korbanos that's sort of a potpourri, you know, it's an admixture of all karbonos, so to speak. It's like the fallback default karbon for all karbonos. What's that called? A karbon ola. A karbon ola is like the fallback position. Why? Because Chazal say that Ein Lecha Adam Yisrael Shelo Avar Al Iser Esei. Everyone needs a kapara for an Iser Esei at some time in their life. They were derelict or they ignored a mitzvah saseh. And the power of an ola is that an ola can become a kapara for a mitzvah saseh. Not only that, an ola is bav nedava. You can take upon yourself a voluntary nedava. So therefore, in the case of the Yarshim, they could take the karbon asham of their father, their late father, and they can bring it as a karbon ola. Why? Because mimarashach. If you're going to tell me, well, then a chayv and the karbon, then it could be a karbon nidava. It doesn't have to be a karbon chomer because all is bob and nidava. And if you're going to tell me, well, what's the kapara of this karbon? Every karbon has to have a kapara. The answer is ein lecha adam Yisrael. There's no one who's free of some element of guilt for a mitzvah say. And therefore the ola is mechaper. So the din of Mosar Asham is that it becomes an ola. And this is the sugya of Masechta Menachos. Okay. Well, that would be suicide. I think the Torah is against suicide. So what do you mean by l'chatchila? he was holding out to bring the Asham in his lifetime.
I was hoping. Yeah. But Shalom Lishma is he by accident. It wasn't amazing. I didn't intentionally call this Ola Chattas. It was all Shogate. But here you are.
Well, actually, Joel, that itself is a sugya. That's called the sugya of Akira Bitovs. The simple case of Shalom Lishma is b'mezid. Again, in every case, you have to figure out what motivated the coin. You know, that's a psychological question. In a case where he inadvertently made a mistake about the karbon, that's called Akira Bitovs. That's a whole discussion whether that comes under Shalom Lishma. And Bli Neder, I hope we'll get to it. I don't know when, but down the line.
This is amazing.
Right. But right now, Joel, what I want you to focus on is a concept called Mosar. What's a Mosar? Mosar is a carbon that can't be brought as it was Mufrash, meaning the Hafrasha defined the carbon and gave it a certain personality, and that can't be brought on the Mizbeach. So what's the fallback position? So that's called a carbon Ola. And one of the examples is an Asham, where the father was guilty of a sin. He was mafresh a karban Asham, then he died. And we have a principle that there's no kapara for a mess. So the kapara, if the Asham are going to bring this karban, have to be related to them. And that's going to be fine as long as this karban takes on the status of an Ola. Because an Ola has a very all-encompassing kapara power that every Jew could benefit from a karban Ola. It's mechaper on essen on mitzvahs asse. Okay, so wait. Before you ask questions, let me just, if you don't mind, just to get the.
That's good.
Okay, yeah, I guess you mind. Oh, so that's what we're getting to. If you just, you know, I just want to present the picture here and see what we have. Oh. So now we have a halacha called nituk. What's nituk? Nituk means that Bezdin, let's assume, again, Rabbi said this is another issue, but we're going to make a more or less a simple assumption, a very superficial assumption, that Bezdin is in charge of Karbanos. There's a special din that the Torah invests authority in Bezdin to oversee and supervise karbonis. So they, Beis Din, have to make the following proclamation or determination that this is nituk. What does nituk mean? Nituk means that they have to make a declaration that this karbon is not going to be used or sacrificed, whatever the word for akrova is, in its original capacity, but rather we're going to change its identity. That declaration has to be made. That's called nituk. So, for example, in the case of a karbon that needs pidyon, like, for example, if you have last year's karbon, which cannot be brought this year because it came from the Trumas HaLishka of last year, whatever the case might be, so they designated a Tomid, but they didn't get a chance to bring the Tomid before Aleph Nisan, so they need what's called a nituk. They have to somehow do a pidyon on this keves, on this sheep that's designated with B'Kedushas Tomid, but you can't do what you call it a pidyon on Kotche Kotchim. I don't mean Kotche Kotchim, I mean on Kedushas Aguf. Kedushas Aguf doesn't lend itself to pidyon unless Nafal Bomum, unless it becomes a Bomum. So we discussed this in the past. We allow the animal to go grazing in the farmlands until it gets a mum. That's called Yirachi Yistayev, and once it gets a mum, now we can do the pidyon. Okay. So there's a sugya Masechta Menachos, and the Masechta Menachos says that Osham Shenitak Re'iyah means Liros, with an ayin to shepherd, means to go out and graze. Then at this point, what is the status of the Osham? Keep in mind that the purpose of this Nituk is to set up a different carbon, a different shem carbon. But we didn't get a chance for the carbon to get a mum, and therefore to sell it, so to speak, on the open market, which I mean pidyon, that we couldn't do. And then the Kohen went ahead and he shechted the carbon asham. So what's the status of this carbon asham? Is it a kosher carbon? Well, the owner of the carbon is no longer alive. So we have to assume that this carbon asham could only be meaningful if what? If we transfer its status to that of an olah. But how does that happen? So the Gemara says in Masechta Menachos that once there was a nituk, that means the Beis Din has already decided to designate this carbon for some sort of a transfer of identity. You know, we're going to change its status, in this case from an asham to an olah. Then once the shechita took place, even though the process has not really reached its culmination, because after nituk l'ri'iyah we're hoping that it'll get a mum and then we'll be able to be poded, that didn't happen, but the kohen jumped the gun and he went in and he shechted the animal, is kasher l'shem olah. It has the status of an olah. And the Gemara goes ahead and says, nitek in, lo nitek lo. The Gemara says, I wonder what happens over here, because in the case of a nituk, then the Beis Din has to determine, they have to designate the carbon as an olah. That they didn't do. All they did was they were menatik it for what? For re'iyah. They weren't menatik it for an olah. So how could this be? So the Gemara says, Amakra hu bavayaso yehe. The Gemara says that there's a special Yalfusa, Xeris HaKosu, that would tell me that. Let's go over the Gemara one more time. So the Gemara says, Asham Shenitak L'Re'iyah, and V'Shachto Stam. Correct? V'Shachto Stam. So we need Nituk L'Re'iyah. So we have two stages in the process. What happened here? Number one, I'm talking about an Asham Shemesu Bailov. Number one, we have Nituk. Nituk was for the purpose of Re'iyah. Number two, what do we have? We had Shechita before what? Before it had a Mum. Right? So the Gemara establishes that if we have both of these conditions, number one, there was nituk, number two, there was shechita, then, because of the nituk, so to speak, opens the karban to be transmuted, if you will, to change its identity, and therefore the shechita now, even though it's stam, becomes a shechita l'shem olah. So the Gemara asks the following question. Nitek in, lo nitek lo. It seems that you need both conditions, right? There has to be a nituk, and then there could be a shechita. And then it becomes a carbon olah. Why is that so? Let's even drop the nituk. Why not say that since this carbon was designated as an asham, which means it has a kapara power, and if it has a kapara power, then in the case of mesu bailov, the yarshim should be able to enjoy the benefit of that kapara power, for at least as an olas nedava, for what? For mitzvah aseh. So the Gemara says, Amakra b'afayaso yir. This is a special drush. And that drush is going to teach me that we need both conditions to be met, nituk and shechita. So Rashi says the following, Kol zman shalom nitak, dahainu, shalom asrua l'roeh, nituk means that Bezda makes a declaration and they give over the behema over to a roeh, to a shepherd, right? V'shachto stam, lo miskasha li'olah. So Rashi says, why? Da adayin shem asham olav. In other words, Rashi understands that we need an entire process to change the status of this asham and make it into an olah. It doesn't happen automatically. It's got to happen first through nitek, and nitek, in a sense, clears the carbon of its original status as an asham, and now through the shechita can become an ola. And Rashi embellishes this. Rashi says, "Lo miskashal ola da dayin shem asham olav ubari akira." Please underline these words. Ubari akira. We need an akira. What does an akira mean? An akira means that you've got to have an action to change the status of the carbon. It's not enough just to empty the carbon and remove its original status. Now it becomes some sort of an amorphous, faceless, nameless kind of carbon. Doesn't belong to any specific category. But rather, there's got to be some sort of an akira, some sort of an action that generates the new shame of the carbon. So Rashi says that these are the two parts of the process. First of all, it's got to be nituk. Okay, nituk means it's menatek, the shame asham, and undermines and cancels the shame asham. But now we need a shechita to engender the status of the carbon as what? As an ola. Now, what was the Kohen thinking when he shechted the carbon? Was he thinking l'shem ola? The Gemara seems to imply that even though shachto stam, so we have to figure out how that works. Mivuar, what do we see? Says the Brisker Rav from this sugya in Menachos, that in the context of mosar, which means that we want to change the direction of the carbon and its designation, in this case asham, it has to become an ol, otherwise it's a meaningless carbon and has no kapara. Be'inan dafka, we need. Rashi says yishchetenu l'shem ol. Again, we have to work it out with the different girsos, but Rashi says you need a positive act of shechting it l'shem ol. Ve'ilu gabe Pesach, the Gemara with regard to Karban Pesach, has a ribui, dechol deshachet lei, if it's shalom bizmano, shlomim lehevi. It becomes a Karban shlomim. Vahainu, the afal gab deshachto l'shem ola, eno nasa ola, el shlomim. It becomes a shlomim l'shem ola. And a shlomim l'shem ola is what? Is a shlomim. What happened over here? We needed a shechita that would be okay, the original shame. So it's not enough to say, well, now this is a Mosar Pesach. It can no longer be brought as a Karban Pesach. It's no longer the 14th of Nisan, and now he brought a second carbon to replace the Karban Pesach that was not shechted on time. Let's say it was lost, and now he replaced it. So the lost Karban Pesach, once it's found, is considered shlomim. And the law is that even if he shechts it l'shem ola, it is a karban shlomim, and it's kosher as a shlomim. Why? Because whenever you shecht a shlomim l'shem ola, it's a shlomim. But wait a second, we just said that mosar asham, it's not enough to say, well, you know, it automatically becomes it automatically becomes a carbon ola. We need an akira. We need a shchita l'shem ola. The shchita l'shem ola is going to take this anonymous, faceless carbon and make it into a carbon ola. Why is it anonymous? Why is it faceless? It was designated as an asham. The answer is what? Nituk. Everybody with me? The nituk empties it of its status as an asham. But the Gemara says that's not enough. And Rashi clarifies this, that it still has the shame asham on it. And what we need is a shchita l'shem ola, Rashi says. Lo miskasha li ola dadayin shem asham ola v'inon akira delishchite behedya l'shem ola. But in the case of Pesach, shalo bizmano, its status is that of what? Of a shlomim, automatically, without an akira. In fact, on the contrary, shechted l'shem ola, and it's kosher b'tor shlomim. V'tzarech iyun ha-hevdil be mosar osham le-mosar pesach.
Well, does that also work if it was a korban pesach? What make it but mesubala.
Right. So in Mesu Bailov, we should say the following, that now it becomes a Mosar Pesach. Bailov would have to be all the Bailov, and if there's one Baal neck, because Pesach is a joint effort, but if there's nobody left in the Chabura, then the Pesach now becomes a Korban Shlomim, and if he shechts it as such, it becomes Shlomim, even if he shechts it L'Shem Ola. So the Brisker Rav wants to understand what makes Pesach different. This is another question to add to the Manishtana. And he says the following. Dibidin mosar osham ola nemar di akiras hakarbon osham lasos ola. You have to have a positive akira to re-channel and rename the carbon and give it the status of what? Of an ola.
But you don't need that by Pesach.
Oh, okay, great. So you have the answer already. But let me just present the question. He says, "Kevan shetzarech sheyachal olav akiraso shema ola." If now we have to be oker the old shame of asham and replace it with a new shame of ola, is be'inan shishchetenu l'shema ola? We need a shchita for the purpose of ola. Oh, so Rabbi, what's the next line going to be? Why is Pesach different?
Because it's automatically becomes a shlomim. You don't need
Why does it automatically become a shlomim? I mean, you might say it automatically becomes a shlomim because we have no other choice. Pesach shalom bizmano is it can't be used for anything else. But then again, Asham, one could argue that Asham Sheh Mesu Bailo can't be used for anything else other than an Ola. So maybe it should become an Ola automatically. The Teretz is that it's an Asham. And here also it's a Pesach. So the Brisker Rav adds another Knech over here. He says, "Ach, the Pesach, kvar me ikara mitchilas hegdesho, yeshlo kedusha shlomim." He says that the status of a korban Pesach is very unique, and the hakdasha, when you magdish a lamb, let's say as a korban shlomim, as a korban Pesach, you already engender a kedusha shlomim. It's sort of like in the lurking in the shadows. It's got the inherent potential to materialize itself and become shlomim. Now, right now, it's not a korban shlomim because it's Pesach bizmano. Rak be'inon lakar toras Pesach shalo. What we need now, in other words, what stands in opposition, so to speak, in contradiction to being a shlomim? Why is it called a Pesach? For example, if you shechted shalol l'shma, it's possible. It's not like shlomim would have shechted shalol l'shma. It's because you designate it as a Pesach. So there's sort of like a tug of war here, a contradiction between the fact that he was mafrish the carbon as a Pesach, the shame Pesach olav, and the fact that the original tchilas hekdesho has kedusha shlomim. So what is it? The answer is it's a Pesach. But if we can be oker the shame Pesach, then what's going to happen? It becomes shlomim. But here you have to add one word. You have to be a brisker. Umemela. That's a brisker language. Umemela, kaimale bekdushas shlom. What's memela? Memela means I don't have to do a positive act to generate the kedusha shlomim because the kedusha shlomim was there from the beginning, from the outset.
Rather than phrase it as a default, can you phrase it as a specialized type of shlomim?
It's a subcategory of shlomim.
But no, he's putting it as potential. I'm wondering whether we can do it as a subcategory.
But the only trouble is when you, I'm not sure what you have in mind, Sam, but a subcategory, I think, of Avos and Toldos is going to lead me into a deep problem, because in the case of a Korban Pesach, Bismano, it's a Korban Pesach, right. L'chol Dino. It doesn't have one single din of Shlomen. It's purely Korban Pesach with all its unique dinim. And therefore, if he shechts it, and it was Shalol Lishma, the Korban is possible.
Right.
So I can't consider it as a told of Shlomim. If I would, then it would be kosher in Shalol Lishma. The answer is that it really the status of the Korban as a Pesach sort of pushes aside, it overpowers the status of Kedusha Shlomim. But that's as long as the Shein Pesach exists. As soon as I can remove the Shein Pesach, then automatically it becomes what? It becomes a Kedusha Shlomim. And therefore, he says, in the case of Shalom Bizmano, we remove the Shein Pesach because it's no longer Omeid LePesach. And in fact, we've replaced it with a different Pesach. So what happens to this Korban? Well, now if you remove the Shein Pesach, even if you Shechta L'Shem Ola, it becomes Shlomim L'Shem Ola because it was always from the get-go sanctified as Shlomim. That's the Brisker Rav. Now, the Nefesh Tova, the Rashiva wants to use this Brisker Rav to explain the halacha of Ola L'Shem Pesach, which according to Yossi, any Korban L'Shem Pesach is possible. Now, I'll get back to that in just 1 second. But I wanted to, you know, everybody likes to say their own Torah, right? So everybody has the Yetzirah. So I have the Yetzirah to say my own Torah here. I would like to suggest, based on the Brisker Rav, an answer to another question. In regard to Mosar Pesach, the Tosefta, which Rav Soloveitchik speaks about at great length in his writings on Kodshim, the Tosefta in two places, in Psachim and Zvachim, vacillates back and forth on the question of how long, for what time period, are you allowed to eat Mosar HaPesach. Meaning, that if it was Pesach Bizmano, not Mosar Pesach, then you shecht it by day, and you eat it by night. Immediately, with daybreak of Tesvav, the 15th of Nisan, it becomes what?
Nosar.
And the Gemara vacillates, how long can you eat a Pesach Shalom Bizmano? There are two possibilities. Either a Pesach Shalom Bizmano could be eaten just Yom V'Laila, which would mean that a Pesach Shalom Bizmano still has some sort of residue of what? Of its... No. Again. Watch this. We're looking at Pesach, and we're looking at Shlom. Okay? Pesach obviously is Bizmano. Pesach is Yom, and then Laila. A Korban Shlomim can be eaten for 2 days. So the Tosefta vacillates until it finally quotes a special drasha on the following issue. What's the deal with Pesach Shalom Bizmano? Pesach Shalom Bizmano is no longer a Pesach. Or is it a Pesach? Well, the Tosefta wants to suggest that Pesach Shalom Bizmano can only be eaten for Yom and Laila. Until the Tosefta quotes a special pasuk to try to prove, no, it can be eaten for 2 days like a shlomim. And the Gemara Tosefta rejects that leeway and comes to the conclusion that a Pesach Shalom Bizmano could only be eaten Laila V'yom. So what do we see, Rabosai? That even though we've been saying over and over again that Pesach Shalom Bizmano is a shlomim, lav milsa pshita, that's not so simple. It still retains some, I call it shirayim, of its status as a Pesach. In fact, in this article, Rav Soloveitchik goes on to prove, with many different sources, that a Pesach Shalom Bizmano has to be eaten tzli. No Korban Shlomim has to be eaten tzli. Again, we don't have time now to go through this. I gave this... Sam, you were there when we discussed it. Were you there, Alan?
Yes. And also the... What do you call it? the korban that they the korban re'iyah or whatever it was that had to be tzli also, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe there's another case of tzli, but classically shlomim doesn't have to be eaten tzli. In fact, the Rav has a Ravid who seems to assume that Pesach Shalom Bismano is an Isur Shviras Etzem. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Right. It means that all these surim that apply to Achilas Karban Pesach still apply even to Mosar Pesach way after the time of Pesach. So I'm just pointing out here that in the frame of reference of the Brisker Rav, it's not really accurate to say the following, that Pesach Shelo Bizmano is automatically devoid of its status as a Korban Pesach and automatically becomes a Korban Shlomim. That's not 100% accurate. Again, the Brisker Rav is not interested in what I'm interested in. You know, I'm not blaming the Brisker Rav. He's not addressing the issue of how long the carbon, the Pesach Shalom Bismano, which is Shalom, has, you know, can be eaten. And the final maskon of the Toseftas can only be eaten Yom V'Laila, but not Shnei Yomim V'Laila Achas. And therefore it's still retained. That's not the Brisker Rav's issue, but I'm just saying that even in terms of the Akiras Shem Pesach, which again, I'm willing to accept the Brisker Rav 100%. I embrace that once you're Oker the Shem Pesach, Mimela becomes a Shlomim. But I'm just pointing out that the process of Akiras Shem Pesach, it might not require a Nituk, but it does require an Akira. And the proof is because that Akira is only a partial Akira. In other words, the Shem Pesach is still very much alive and well and generates certain dinim and restrictions that would not apply to Shlomim. So it's not really pure Shlomim. Okay. But what does the Rosh Yeshiva want to do with this? He wants to say the following. Hu adin kishachoshev l'shem ola l'shem karban acher havi shlomim, meaning a Pesach Shelo Bizmano where there's an Akiras Shem Pesach, therefore when he shechts this Pesach Shelo Bizmano which is now Shlomim, if he shechts it L'Shem Ola, then it's like any Shlomim that shechts it L'Shem Ola, and therefore it's kosher. Kevon dekfar yeshbo meikara kedusha shlomim, because it already had the kedusha shlomim from the get-go. And it's very interesting. The kedusha shlomim that it had was restricted by the Shem Pesach. And if even when you remove the Shem Pesach, you still have those restrictions. So in a sense, the Shem Shlomim is a very fascinating, you know, schizophrenic Shem Shlomim, because it has within it certain personality traits of Pesach that it carries with it for the balance of its life.
You can't hear it.
Okay, so wait a second. So what's the punchline here? He says, Sagi, now I can understand what happens if you shecht a karbon, let it be an ola, for the sake of Pesach Shelo Bizmano, which Yossi says in that Mishnah means it's possible. Sagi b'meshachoshev Shelo l'shem Pesach v'hainu l'shem karbon acher kidei la'okro mishem Pesach Shebo. Okay. He wants to suggest the following. That, just one second. You know what? I'm going to have to come back to this a little bit later. Let me put it on the side for a minute. Now, Rabosai, let me ask you a question. The Yesod HaYesodos of our Mishnah is that Shelo Lishma does not passel a carbon with the exception of Chatos and Pesach. So now, let's take a look for a moment here on Daf Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara says the following. Okay, there's a whole story here about Rav Papa. Rav Papa couldn't make the trek to the Beis HaMedrash that day for whatever reason, so he missed a dialogue and a presentation of Rava. And Rava, you missed a good shiur. That's what he basically told him. And who gave the good shiur was Rava. Derami Rava Mili Me'al Yisad Dodi. Rava presented a very sharp contradiction, Vishani Luhu, and he reconciled that contradiction. Okay, that's about five lines down from the top, yeah? My mili mealius. So what was the stira that Rava presented? The snan, we have a Mishnah here at the beginning of Kodshim, and it says kol zvakim shenisgu shalol lishman, etc. etc. Ksherim. Correct? Ksherim. Okay, let's just. I'm going to read the next part of the Gemara very quickly because it's not so relevant to us. He says, Taima dishalo lishma hastama alu nami lebayelum sheichov. In other words, although shalo lishma, let's say he shechted an ola l'shem shlamim, although the carbon is kosher, but it's pogum, so to speak. It's not 100%. There's no what we call ritzu. I mean, it's not ola l'shem bayel. However, if he had nothing in his mind, then he shechted it stam, he wasn't thinking toward, you know, his mind wasn't directed, the shochet wasn't directing his thoughts towards any particular karbon, that's called stama. Olu nami lebailam l'shem chovim. The implication of the Mishnah is, because the Mishnah had to give me a case of olu l'shem shlamim, where he had in mind a different karbon, that if he had in mind no karbon whatsoever, then for sure the karbon would be absolutely kosher, and it's even olu l'shem chovim. Alma, we see, says Rava, from our Mishnah, stama, knows if he didn't have any direct machshava for any particular karbon, is kilishman dami. It has the same status in Allah as if he had l'shem that karba. For a mini, but what about a Mishnah in Gittin? The Mishnah says, kol aget shenichtav shalo l'shem isha possible. That if the sofer, when he wrote the get, he didn't have in mind this particular woman, then it's lacking in l'shma. And this is derived by the Gemara there in Gittin from the pasuk "Mekasav La Sefer Krisus." The extra word "La" means it has to be written for her, lishma. And the implication is that stama, if he didn't have the mindset that this is for a particular Leah, then nami pasul, the get is pasul. So why is it that in Kachim we say that if the shochet had in mind stama, meaning he didn't have in mind any specific carbon, then the carbon is absolutely kosher? In the case of get, where we require lishma, we have to have a lishma l'shem ha'isha. But if he has stama, and he doesn't have any particular lishma for any particular isha, the get is not worth the paper it's written on. And Rabbi asked this question, and he gave an answer to this question. Vishani, and he gave the answer, Zvachim Bistam Lishman Omdim. That's in the case of Kodshim, we have a principle called Stam Lishma. So the only time the carbon is going to have a problem, and it's going to be Pogum, as I use that word loosely, is only when he had Shalom Lishma, which means Ola Lishem Shlamin. But Isha, Mistama Lav Legerishin Omedis. She is not designated for gerushin, and therefore you need to write the get l'shem ha'isha. Now, I mentioned to you that the Keren Ora is one of the most important commentaries on Kodshim, and he has an introduction to Masechet Zvachim, which is very heavily focused on the few lines of Gemara that we just studied. And Don, I think you made photocopies of that, right?
Yes, they're already handed out, I think.
They're already handed out, so I have a few extra copies. If there's anybody who didn't get a copy, again, it's first come, first serve. It's Kol HaKodim Zocher.
It's this.
Yes. Okay, you have it?
Yeah. Is this one right?
Yeah, that's the one.
If you don't save them,
So in the first paragraph,
I spent a half an hour photocopying. That's true.
Right. Thank you so much, Don. I appreciate all your efforts. As I said, the big challenge I face in teaching Kodshim, besides the fact that I'm trying to orient myself in Kodshim, is the fact that I have to do a lot of photocopying, and I'm not good. I don't know if I'm allergic to the machine or vice versa, but anyway, I always have stories to tell you about my photocopying experiences. Yeah. I forgot his name right now. It's here in the... Do you remember his name? I think he probably wrote it down here.
Ravina?
No. That's the one who was Motzi Lior.
Yitzhak Abezin Karlin. Unless I'm looking at the wrong.
No, that's true. I think he's the Carlina's brother. But I can give you his name if I can just. All right, I don't want to hold this up, especially in the light of the fact that we started late. So, Bli Neder, I'll try to get back to you on that. Okay, it's here on this page Lamed Daled. Okay. So in the first paragraph he just quotes our Gemara, and then in the second paragraph he says the following: "V'tzarech l'dadek b'svara zu minolam l'chalik b'kach." The Torah says that the chatos has to be shechted lo. Lo means lishma, for the sake of the chatos. And in the case of get, the Torah says v'kos avlah, the get has to be written lo for the sake of the isha. Why, therefore, should we assume that stoma in the case of a korban chatos or any zevach is lishma, and in the case of isha, stoma is posel? And he says the following: what does the Gemara mean when it says that in the case of writing a get, stoma is lav lishma, and what does it mean that in the case of the zevach, the shechita is lishma? He says that in the case of lishma in zvachim, what does it mean? We think it means l'shem shlomim, and that's what Rava thought in his question. Lav, that's not what the Torah is teaching us. You don't need l'shem shlomim, right? Because stoman is lishma dami. What makes it into a kosher karbon, a valid karbon? He says pirish hamaisa atzmo. Okay, now we're turning to number page base. Kimo zvicha, zrika, etc. Nases behechsher. In other words, we look at the action, not the thought process, but the action itself. And in objective terms, since the action itself was what? Was behechsher. It was done properly. Therefore, he says, mishum chisaron kavona ein leposla. We're not going to passel the karbon based on the fact that he didn't have kavana. The Torah says that there is a lishma in zvachim ki asi. When the Torah comes to tell us that, it's limu'ute im mechavin ba lizevach acher. It comes to exclude a case where he has a kavana for a different zevach. Abel begerishin, when the Gemara says, Rava says, isha lav legerishin omedes, it means that there's no maisa mitzvah here that's going on that you could say it was done behechsher. The Torah just says create a get. Take a piece of paper, a parchment, if you will, and convert it, transform it into a get. So when the Torah says la, lishma, the Torah is coming to teach us that what makes this piece of paper into a get, it's got to be a kavana lishma. And therefore we need in a positive sense that the sofer have in mind for the purpose of this isha. So whereas in Zvachim we have a mitzvah to go through all the avodos and we'll start with Zvicha, and that Zvicha is done behechsher, that's exactly what the Torah wants. The Torah objects if he has a negative kavana, a kavana poseles, which is l'shem zevach acher. But as long as he has a stoma, then the maisa of hakrovas hakarbon, according to Karen Owen's understanding, that itself is machshir the carbon, and there's no need for a lishma teda. And he says, "I'll prove it to you." The Gemara is going to establish on daf gimel that if the kohen at the time of the shechita has in mind l'shem chulin, in other words, he wants to eat this animal as if it was chulin, or give it to someone else to eat it as if it was chulin, kshera, then the carbon is kosher. How could this be? Where's the lishma? He didn't have in mind l'shem any kodesh. So as far as shalol lishma, okay, I grant you that he didn't have shalol lishma, he didn't have in mind an ola l'shem shlamim, but on the other hand, he didn't have in mind l'shem ola at all. He had in mind l'shem chulin. And the Gemara says because it's Eino Mino, and therefore it doesn't upset the carbon, and it's still valid. If you're going to tell me that in Lishma, just like in Get, you need the Lishma in a positive sense to have a Kavana L'Shem HaIsha, so too in Zevach, the Torah requires Lishma to have a Kavana L'Shem HaZevach, this man had in mind L'Shem what? L'Shem Chulin. And the answer is, because as long as he doesn't have in mind L'Shem Zevach Acher, that's what the Torah means by requiring Kavana. And if he doesn't, then the carbon is kosher. And now the Keren Ora has a second proof. This is from a Gemara later on at Daf Mem Zayin about Misasik B'Kodshin. The man has no clue that this animal is a Zevach, is Kodshin. And he went ahead and he shechted it. That's called misasek. So the Gemara derives from a special pasuk that misasek is pasul. He has to at least know it's a karba. L'chora lomali kra. Why does the Gemara need a pasuk to undermine misasek? After all, that's even worse than mistama. In the case of mistama, we're going to say it's kosher. And this case is a case that l'chora is even worse than mistama. Why is it worse than mistama? So he gives the following example. The Gemara says here on Daf Beis Amid Beis that if a sofer writes a get because he's an apprentice, you remember this case? We discussed it once. He's just learning how to write a get. That's called lehislamed. The Gemara says that that's called a posel get. Even if I hold that mistama would be kosher, this is worse than mistama. Why? Because he's not at all focused on gerushin. He's not interested in gerushin. Why is he writing this get? He's practicing how to write a get. And in the case of lehislamed, it's worse than stam. Oh. So the Keren Ora wants to suggest that in the Havamina of the Sugyan Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara thought that Misasek is like Stoma. And if not for the Xeris HaKos from the Drosha, it would be kosher. Why? Because Misasek, on the one hand, doesn't have in mind L'Shem Ola, but on the other hand, he doesn't have in mind L'Shem Shlomim. He doesn't even know it's a karma. Kamash Balan was saying here that there's something even worse than mistama. In the case of mistama, the sofer knows he's writing a get, or the shochet knows that he's shechting a zevach. But in the case of misasek, he's not even aware of his writing of a get for the purpose of gerushin. He's just learning how to write letters. And in the case of a zevach misasek, he has no awareness whatsoever that it's a karbon and it's kachim. In such a case, it's even worse than stama. So it comes out, according to the Keren Ora, that once we have the Alfusa that passels misasik, we now have three categories, three possible scenarios of Lishma in Kodshin. We have, number one, a negative kavana, where he shechts the Shlomim L'Shem Ola, the Ola L'Shem Shlomim. Then we have a case of Stoma, where he's aware of the fact that he's shechting a Zevach, but he doesn't have in mind any particular Zevach. And in such a case, the carbon is kosher, and it's Ola L'Shem Chova. And then we have a third case of Misasek, where the Kohen is not even aware of the fact that it's a Zevach, and from Xeris HaKos of the Yalfus, we're going to derive that that's even worse than Mistama. So Mistama is kosher in Kachim. In the case of Get, we have three possibilities. Possibility number one is where he had in mind, the Sofer had in mind for this Isha. The second possibility is Stoma. So he had in mind for whatever woman who has the name Leah, not any specific Leah. In such a case, the get is possible. And then the Gemara says, in the worst case, the bottom barrel, which is even worse than Mistoma, is Misasek, where the Sofer doesn't even have in mind L'Shem Gerushin. And in Zvachim, we're going to say that only if he has in mind a different Zevach, that would be like a Sofer who had in mind Leah the first, and the get was given to Leah the second, that would be a negative lishma, that applies in zvachim. However, the case of mistama, which in gittin would be pasul, is kosher in zvachim. And the case of misaseik, which is even worse than mistama, is pasul even in kodshim. So there are two scenarios according to Keren Ora where the absence of lishma would pasul a karma. Number one, where he had l'shem zevach acher, and that would be kosher v'eino ole l'baylim l'shem chovaso. Then we have a case of misasek. Misasek is also pasul. And then we have the case of mistama, where he doesn't have in mind any particular zevach, and that's kosher. That's how it comes out according to the Keren Ora. But again, Rabosai, let's understand that according to Keren Ora, even though Mistama is kosher in Zevach, there's something that's worse than Mistama. What's that? Misasik. Misasik, he says, is like the case in Ger, where he doesn't have in mind L'shem Gerushin. Here also, he doesn't have in mind L'shem Shechita Zevach. And that passes the carbon based on that Gzeres HaKosuv. And if I were to tell you that the case of misasek is worse than mistama, so what would you say about the following case? Okay, this is going to be a sugya Masechta Erevin on the left column here, and that is Megillah Sota, which also has to be written lishma for the purpose of this particular sota. And the Gemara, the way Tosis understands it in Erevin, assumes that if the Megillah Sota was written initially as a parsha in the Torah for the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, it can be used as a sota, fashka sota. Now, wait a second. We require lishma in Megillah Sota in the same way that we require lishma in Gid, right? Just like a Gid has to be written lishma, and Megillah Sota has to be written lishma. So how could it be that if the Megillah Sota was written as a parsha in the Torah, how could that be kosher? Says the Keren Ora, it could be kosher because the lishma in Megillah Sota is identical with the lishma in Zvachim, which means that if they wrote the Megillah Sota for Leah the first, they cannot use the Megillah Sota, it's not kosher, for Leah the second, because they had mind a different isha, like a zevach that was brought for a different karban, olah l'shem shlamim. But mistama, but if there's nothing in the mindset whatsoever, then it's considered lishma, just like in zvachim, mistama is lishma. And therefore, in this case of a Sefer Torah, that's like a case where the writing was done not for a particular isha, and that's called mistama. And if we accept the equation between Megillah Sota and Zvachim, mistama is kosher. Now you'll ask me, why should Megillah Sota be similar to Zvachim? Why not opt for an equation between Megillah Sota and what? And Gittin. So he gives an unbelievable answer on the next page, which is page Gimel, if you have it. He says, Nira l'chalik be Megillah Sota l'get. Why? Because we said in the case of get that stam isha lav l'shem gerushin omedes, right? And if she's not l'shem gerushin omedes, you have to create something that is l'shma. He says, hatsvar gufa de'amirin ha'ocha ben zvachim l'geta sota gam kein stama omedes l'ksivas megillah ula hashkosa. When did they write this parsha? After she was designated as a sota. In other words, she already experienced what? Kiddush and stira. He says, therefore, sota is mistama omedes l'ksivas megillah lashkosa. And therefore, I don't need a positive kavana l'shem hasota, because this sota is omedes l'megillah sota. The only psul of shalol lishma is when he had in mind a different sota. But if he simply had in mind for writing a Sefer Torah, then we could use that as a Megillah Sota, because Stam Sota Omedes Le Megillah Sota.
Why don't they say the same thing by get?
Just one second. But I thought you were going to ask the punchline question. I mean, the whole shiur is leading up to this punchline. We just finished saying that misasek is worse than mistama, and even if mistama is kosher, but nevertheless misasek would be possible, because in the case of misasek, for example, in get, he didn't have in mind l'shem gerish, and he had in mind l'islamit. Or in the case of zvachim, he didn't even know that it was kachim, so he wasn't even aware of a shchitas zevach. And that's even worse than mistama, so that even in zvachim, where mistama is kosher, but nevertheless lehislamed, or in the case of misasek, it's possible, the carbon is possible. Therefore, when we talk about a sefer Torah, and we want to use it now as what? As a Megillah Sota, so we can tell me, but Stomel Lishman Sota, because Stam Sota Ligerishin Omedis. I mean, Megillah Sota Omedis. But that's not going to help you for the case of a Sefer Torah. Because in the case of a Sefer Torah, that's worse than Stoma. That would be parallel to the case of Misasek. And just like in the case of Misasek and Get, the Get is possible, even if I would hold Mistoma, the meaning of that Mistoma is kosher and Get. Nevertheless, Misasek is worse than Mistoma. And in Zvachim, where there's a din of Mistoma Lishma, nevertheless, Misasek is possible. Therefore, the case of a Sefer Torah, in Sota, even if you'll tell me Stam Sota Limigila Soto medicine, therefore Stama Lishma, but at least he has to be aware of the fact that he's writing a Megillah Sota. Here he thinks he's writing a Sefer Torah. This is the Karen Ora's problem. And now if you go back to the paragraph on page Bays that starts with the word Ella, you'll see towards the bottom of that column, he says, "Hachi aminon behedja the erev in daf yud gimel amid aleph le'inya megillah sota the hecha denichtiva leislamed yesh lahachshir yosem yim nichtiva leisha cheres." Fascinating that if he was a student and he was learning how to write a scroll or on a parchment, and they taught him to write a Megillah Sota with the name of this Sota, then it's kosher. You can use it for Megillah Sota, even though it's Lislamed. And we said in Get, and even in its parallel called Misasek and Kodshim, that's possible. So even if you'll upgrade Megillah Sota to the status of Zvach and then consider it Mistama Lishma, but that's only if it's not a Misasek situation, or if it's not Lislamed. Lislamed is one notch, one rung lower than Lishma, lower than Stama Lishma. V'ra'isi la Tosfos Zal, Tosfos says in Gittin, and Be'eruvin, another Tosfos, Harichu Yosef, Liyashev Hadul, Inya Megillah Sota, Ika Manda Machshel, Limchok La, Mi Sefer Torah. You know, you erase certain parashas of Sefer Torah until you're left with the parasha of Sota. Why? Because Kevin the Stoma Nichtava. So the Karen Ora is bothered. This is not a case of Stoma. Stoma means I'm aware of the fact that it's a get, and I'm doing it L'Shem Gerishin. Or Stoma in Zvachim means I'm aware of the fact that it's a Zemach, and I'm Shechting it L'Shem Kodshim. But in the case of Megillah Sota that was written initially as what? As a Sefer Torah, there he's not aware of a klal, he's writing a Megillah Sota, and that would be equivalent to Misasek, and it would be one notch lower than Mistoma. So again, Rabosa, we're stuck with this question, which hopefully we'll find an answer to this question. I don't know when, I'm not promising. But what I want to take out of this whole discussion is that now we have three categories of Lishma. We have a negative category where you had in mind Lishem something else. It means in Isha you had in mind a different woman than this Leah. It means in Shlomim you had in mind Ola. And in Megillah Sota you had in mind a different Sota. Then we have the case of Mistama. Mistama means you knew it was a Zemach. You knew it was being written as a get for the sake of Gerishin. You knew it was written for a Sota, but you didn't have in mind any particular Sota, any particular Isha for Gerishin, or any particular Zevach that's called Mistama. And herein lies the difference between get on the one end of the spectrum and Zvachim and Megillah Sota on the other end of the spectrum. In the case of Mistama and Get, it's possible. In the case of Stama in Zvachim or Megillah Sota, it's kosher. Then we get to the third and the lowest rung on the ladder, and that is what? Misasek, or in the case of Get, what's the parallel to Misasek? Lislamed. If it's Lislamed, that's called an absence of awareness, of the most basic awareness, that it's a get. Or in the case of Megillah Sota, you didn't write it with any Megillah Sota, any Sota in mind, not even general Sota. And in the case of Zvachim, he had in mind for the purpose of who knows what, but he doesn't know that it's a Zemach. And basically the logic is that if he doesn't have in mind because he's not aware of it's a Zemach, that's not called a Shchitas Zemach. And even though Stavu Lishma, this is worse than Stavu Lishma, and therefore it's possible. That's what I got so far in the Keren Ora. Now that you have the Keren Ora, I'm going to expect you to finish it up. How many pages is it? I'll give you till Wednesday. Okay? How many pages did you get?
To Zion.
Till Zion. Okay. So we got up to Gimel. Right? That only took us about an hour. So I would assume that to get to Dav Zion, it'll take you maybe another hour. I can ask you for that hour. Okay, then? So when we get together, Mitzvah Hashem, next time on Wednesday. Now, Wednesday, of course, is Yom HaZikaron. But I still think we should learn on Yom HaZikaron. Did I get that right, or did I mess it up?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying there are a bunch of guys here. I call them guys because we're very friendly, but I really shouldn't call them guys. Right? A bunch of Talmidei Chacham here who come on Mondays and Wednesdays. Is that true?
Yes.
Again, we're waiting for Mashiach. The Geula is, Yom HaZikaron is around the corner, so Geula is in some stage. I don't know exactly if it's a yell at HaShachar, or it's Amud HaShachar, or it's Netzacham. I don't know exactly where we're holding on the spectrum. But we started the process, right? So I'm waiting for my own personal Geula, where the Talmidei Chachamim who join me on Mondays and Wednesdays will be here even on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I have a feeling that Mashiach is going to come first, before that happens. That's how much luck, that's how much optimism I'm holding.
I don't know how you keep it all straight.
So then on Wednesday, Bulineda, we're going to come back to the Keren Ora. Okay, then tomorrow I want to discuss with you a different part of the first sugya in Masechtas Zvachim. So I'm saving something special for tomorrow. But I getting back to my original question, Wednesday is Yom HaTzmaut.
No, Thursday.
So Wednesday is Yom HaZikaron.
Yes. Right.
So is it okay to have a Shir on Yom HaZikaron? There's no Easter.
It's a mitzvah.
Okay, I think it would be Zecher, those who fell and so forth and so on. Yeah, it could be dedicating it. And when does the Sefirah go off?
11.
At 11. So that wouldn't even wouldn't affect us at all. Okay then?
Sure, thank you.
Yeah.
You have another?
Wait, Yom HaZikaron starts actually tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Am I right? Is it Sefirah? What time is it Sefirah tomorrow night?
I think 8 p.m. usually.
8 p.m. Okay, I have to know that.